Welcome to In His Footsteps with award-winning author Margaret Agard, sharing practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Now here's Margaret.
Do you have problems with credit card debt? You know how to get out of debt just like you know how to lose weight, but you're not doing it for the same reasons. I'm going to share with you today a way I found that's easy, doesn't hurt at all, and will cut your expenses by 20% every month. I didn't think it would work for me. I thought my expenses were already cut to the bone, but it did. And the guest you're going to meet today, Joe Peretta, author of Master the Card, shares three ideas you probably haven't heard yet for getting out of credit card debt.
Now here's this week's Bible question and answer, brought to you by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Quickly see 6,000 years of Bible and world history together on one color-coded wall poster. Find out more about the Amazing Bible Timeline or ask your own Bible question at AmazingBibleTimeline.com.
The Bible question this week is end times, last days, latter days, end of the age. What's the difference? Nothing. They're all referring to the same time. Throughout the Bible, you'll just find similar words translated differently, but they mean the same thing. Okay, now let's find out. Who's in charge? You or your credit card? You have those sleepless nights wondering how you're going to pay all your bills? Before I share my tip for cutting your expenses 20% painlessly, I wanted to know from Joe, what's the one thing you have to have to get out of credit card debt?
Desire. You know, if you really want to do something, you will find a way to do it.
One of the ways you describe how you get rid of all your credit card debt, but you also said God helped you with that. So
yeah.
How did he help you?
It's interesting. Once I realized I had a lot of credit card debt, I sort of got this nagging feeling in my gut that something was wrong, that I was misusing my money and that I was abusing credit cards. And after a while, I realized it was really God sort of talking to me to make better use of his money, that there was something more that he wanted me to do with what he provided me. And I think it was that initial gut feeling or conscience, whatever word you want to use to describe it, that really started to propel me out of credit card debt and into giving more to God's work. So I think initially it was just that call that he put on my life to change my financial ways, and then secondly, to do more for his work, which I continue to do today.
So essentially, you could either give interest to the big credit card companies, or you could give money to God.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So tell me a little bit about how you got out of the debt. And I think the real question I have is, if you're living on credit cards, you're probably living beyond your income. And to pay off credit cards, you have to live below your income. So how did you do that?
Exactly. So much of it is a sense of awareness, a sense of responsibility and choice. When I look back on my days mired in credit card debt, I realized that so much of the reason behind it was a sense of entitlement or a sense of really not knowing the difference between a want and a need, and really a focus on myself and my own pleasures. And that really had to change in order for me to get out of credit card debt and to stay out. So I think a couple of things are really crucial. Number one is that sense of awareness that we're doing something wrong with our finances. And then number two, a conscious effort to change and a desire to change. Because if you don't want to, you won't. And that's just, you know, plain and simple. But if you really want to, then, you know, day by day, and it's literally a day-by-day process, you have to think about what you're doing and then ultimately take different steps in order to get out of debt.
One of the things that my husband and I used, and we weren't big spenders. We didn't have a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we don't have any debt right now, but not even a mortgage. But here was the thing. We started just looking at what we were spending, how we were spending, and how much value we were getting from it in terms of where we say our values are.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to cut our spending by 20% just by looking, as you said, becoming conscious of your choices.
Yeah.
You know, we would say, you know, we like to eat out occasionally.
Right.
And you can save 20% just by eating lunch out rather than dinner out.
Absolutely. And one of the things I did and one of the things I write about in the book is when people initiate this process of getting out of credit card debt or at least watching exactly what they're spending on is to make a list of every single purchase that you make for about a two-week period. And then take a look at that and say, you know, and that's part of the awareness process, kind of as you were saying, you know, you realize what you're doing and you can cut a good 20-25% of your spending just by, you know, literally watching everything that you do, every penny that you spend and writing it down. And I think so much of that, again, is that awareness factor. So if you start to realize what you're doing with your money, then things can change.
And for us, we didn't give up any of the pleasure of what we did. We didn't. What we gave up was stuff that wasn't bringing us much pleasure, actually.
And that's interesting too, because I find with myself and many of the people who I coach and speak with that they just sort of do things which they think are therapeutic, but in the long run, it's really adding nothing to their life.
One of the things I looked at too, and I'm not sure how you recommend doing this, was simply to break out my credit card or our whatever debt we had at the time and look at how much was going to interest. I think we had a car payment and I think we were remodeling our house. And so we had a small payment that we were making to the bank. And so what's interesting to do that, and have you ever read the book, Your Money or Your Life?
I think I read part of that book, yes.
What they recommend in there is figuring out how much you actually make per hour by looking at your actual take-home pay and dividing it by your actual time getting to and from work and spending time at work. That's what you really make per hour. And then looking at how much of your life you're using to purchase whatever it is you're purchasing. And so for a lot of people, if they looked at it, they would probably have to say, you know what? I'm spending 30 hours of my life every month paying credit card debt. Is it worth 30 hours of my time to pay credit card debt?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it too, because time and money are so closely related to each other that if you do look at it as an hourly thing or a time commitment, certainly I think people may stand up and take notice to that, certainly.
Yeah, and so I think instead of just breaking out your credit card payment into this as a credit card payment, to actually break it out into the interest you're paying versus the capital. You see the big difference. You suddenly realize how much you're just given to discover.
Right. Yeah, and I do address that in the book in a different way, although what you said certainly is a terrific point. I talk about negotiating with the credit card companies to get a lower interest rate whenever possible because the rates on these credit cards are so staggering. And when we are just sort of paying the minimum payment, the interest rates, the principal never gets cut into. We're just sort of covering the minimum payments and the interest rate. So I think that an awareness of that interest rate and at least a negotiation of a lower rate, in addition to what you said, is certainly true.
How can you negotiate a lower rate? Because certainly everyone who has credit card debt should just do that right now, first thing.
I think that's one of the first things you want to do. I always tell people you have to know exactly what you owe in order to do anything about what your debt is.
Okay.
So go and grab all the latest statements that you have from each of the cards, however many cards you have. Write down what the outstanding balance is on each of those cards and the corresponding interest rates, and then get the toll-free number that appears on the back of the card or on that statement and call. A lot of people think they have no authority with these credit card companies, that they sort of have all the power.
Interject here. Actually, if you just open your wallet and take out your credit cards, the 800 numbers on the back, and you just get one piece of paper, you could write down the credit card, the 800 number, you could call it, and they would tell you the balance, right? The minute you call, right? They say, your current balance is.
Whether it's press 1, press 2, whatever the numbers are, they would certainly tell you,
You're ready to start going because you press 0 to talk to the rep, and the first thing you can ask them is, what is my interest?
Right. Right. And that's the thing, too, because knowledge is power, but applied knowledge is even greater power. So you really have to be proactive and do this. Because I know with my own instance years ago, every time I called to negotiate a credit card, I was able to knock off at least a few interest points on each of these cards. And it may not have necessarily been easy because the first person you speak to doesn't have the authority to do that. But if you ask, let me speak to your supervisor, eventually you will get to somebody with whom you can negotiate.
And I remember helping a lady in her 80s who, I'm not even going to go into the story of how she ended up with that credit card debt, but actually, I am. What I had to do with is she kept signing up for those little free offers, you know, I'll send you this and then we'll sign you up for this thing free for 30 days. She never saw that because she didn't right. see very well. And pretty soon they were charging her for things like travel plan, you know, all that stuff where they start mm-hmm. charging you every mm-hmm. month. And every time right. she hit her limit, they raised her limit without her requesting right. it until she was yeah. owing thousands of dollars with this huge interest payment and was getting absolutely nothing for it. And the point is, first of all, we got rid of it working with a senior citizen rep. But before that, I made the calls to get her interest rate lowered. Of course, she had to get on the phone and say, yes, I could talk for her. And it wasn't mm-hmm. as hard as it wasn't really that hard.
No, it's not. It's not. And I think that's some, one of the other areas where a lot of people need to recondition their thinking. They've either heard other people say that you can't negotiate with these companies or the banks don't want to talk to you. But, you know, you really sort of have to take the bull by the horns yourself in order to change things.
If you're just joining us, this is Margaret Agard with In His Footsteps. Today, credit card debt, Joe Peretta, author of Master the Card, shares not just how to get out of credit card debt, but how God helps you do it. Okay, so let me just summarize. At this point, what we've done is said, you've said, first, make sure you know how much you owe mm-hmm. and what you're paying for it, your interest rate. Second, track everything you're spending right now and just become aware of it. Look at it and say, you know, is this worth it? Do I really need to spend this? And third, then negotiate lower interest rates with your credit card companies. Okay, now what?
Okay, now literally you want to continue to follow through on that strategy that I mentioned before, huh, as far as writing down everything you purchase for every, you know, for at least a couple of weeks.
You know what? I want to add one thing because this was
sure.
key. In fact, Stephen Covey says this in his book. It's easy to say no when you have a greater yes within.
Yes, that's great.
Right? So, yes. So, you had a sense that God had a better place for you to put that money.
Yes. Yeah,
and you wanted to put it in the better place.
Yeah, and you know, for me personally, it didn't take long to recondition my habits. I was able to wean myself off of using the credit cards rather quickly, and I think a big reason why was what you just said. I knew that God wanted me to be using my money more constructively, more effectively for his work and for helping other people. And when you have that greater purpose, that bigger yes, as you just mentioned, I
yes.
think that it facilitates the process and it drives you to want to do the right thing that much faster. Yeah.
Okay. So now we've got the bigger yes, and now we're also tracking how we're acting. We're just becoming aware. The tracking isn't a budget.
No, it's not.
Yet. Might become one later. But right now it's not a budget. It's just, where is my money going?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I think part of the problem for teenagers. I think part of the problem with the budget is that people automatically feel restricted. And one of the things that they want to do in this process is not feel like they're totally ascetic or totally being pinched or they can't spend any money on themselves for whatever reason. So I try to avoid the budget mentality and really think of it more as a spending plan, you know, as though you're laying out a game plan for yourself as to how you're going to spend your money and how you're most effectively going to use it.
What's the difference between the people that you work with who succeed at this and the people who fail?
The simple answer, those who want to get out of credit card debt and those who really are not all that interested in getting out of credit card debt. It's desire. You know, if you really want to do something, you will find a way to do it. And there are people who they talk a good game and they say, yeah, I'd really like to get out of credit card debt, but they're not willing to change their habits. There are others who say, not only would I like to get out of credit card debt, I will get out of credit card debt. And you could just tell by the way they talk and the way they act that they're serious about it. And that's really the key distinction, is that word desire.
The first set of people haven't felt the pain yet, which is one of the reasons I think it helps to break out that interest and then figure out how much you actually make per hour and really look at it. Then you actually, I think, start to feel some pain.
Pain's a good thing in that case, absolutely.
Yeah. What would you say to seniors? How do seniors turn their life around? Or do you run into many seniors with this problem? By seniors, I mean people 60 and over.
Yeah, you know, in my experience, I haven't had as many people in their 60s and over who have issues with the credit card debt because they didn't grow up with credit card debt. So I think conditioning is a big part of the issue. Certain people of a certain age group, when they were growing up, they were taught that when you have the cash, you buy it. You know, when you have the money, you buy it. And if you don't have it yet, you save it. You save for it, and then when you have the money, you get it. So the plastic wasn't as big an issue. But then when you get to people who are a little bit younger than in their 60s and credit cards became more prevalent in society, that sense of instant gratification took over and the ease of purchase took over. So I think that, the younger people have a bigger issue with the credit cards. The seniors, interestingly, there were some of them who I've dealt with who haven't gotten into credit card debt due to their own spending, but this desire to see their kids or their grandchildren have certain things. So they've sort of allowed themselves to use their own credit cards to give, to their kids and their grandkids, and they've gotten into credit card debt for them, for their families more so than for themselves.
You know, it seems to me that with a lot of couples, there would be at least one couple who would be saying there must be something else we could do to provide that pleasure or something. And so one of the things, maybe I'm just talking from my own experience, because I'm the one who would kind of slip around behind my husband's back and say, well, I'll just get this. And, it'll sort of slide into the budget. He won't even notice. But if I talk to him about it, we are able to come up with another plan. So strict honesty with your partner, I think, helps too.
Oh, absolutely. There has to be. If you're married, if you're in any kind of a relationship like that, and you don't have that honesty, this will not work. This is just ground zero, if you will, as far as relationships with money. There has to be transparency. There has to be, excuse me, openness with regards to this, because there are so many couples out there who one partner or the other is using the credit card secretly, and then eventually, and every time I've seen this happens, eventually the truth comes out, and things are just so much worse than they need to be.
Plus, you've hurt your relationship. There's such a sense of betrayal.
Yeah, and in some cases, irreparably in some cases, yeah.
Yeah, so do you want your marriage to end? Is it worth that new dress?
Right.
If you like this show and want to help us keep it on the air, please send your donation, any amount will help, to Margaret Parker, LC, In His Footsteps Radio, Post Office Box 173, Duck, West Virginia, 25063, or go online to donate using debit or credit cards, or PayPal, www.inhisfootsteps.com. Thank you for your help keeping us on the air. Now here's Margaret.
So the question then is, many books will say pay off your highest interest rate credit card first. You don't say that. What do you say?
No, what I say is pay off the card with the lowest balance first, and here's why. Number one, money is as much psychological as it is material, and by that I mean what we think about ourselves, what we think about money is a reflection of our entire persona. So the best thing I feel for people should do is to pay off the credit card with the lowest outstanding balance first, because that'll give you a sense of victory, a sense of accomplishment, and the belief that you can really get out of credit card debt. So you want to build a series of small victories for yourself as you start to dig out of credit card debt, because the psychological component is immeasurable. Highest balance and so on and so forth, and you sort of build momentum towards the card with the highest balance, and what you'll see is a couple of things. Number one, you've reduced or completely stopped using the credit cards because now you're seeing that you don't need to use them. And secondly, as you move up the ladder paying off the cards with the highest balances, you're going to be putting more and more money towards those cards because you can afford to.
Do you start a savings program at the same time, Joe, or do you wait till all the credit card debt is paid off?
My feeling is, especially nowadays, pay off the credit cards first before you worry about savings, because you have credit cards, even if you negotiate to lower interest rates, you have credit cards with interest rates that are a lot higher than you're going to get on any savings account in any bank. So don't worry about the 1% savings account if you've got credit cards with 12, 13, 14, whatever percent. The best savings plan you can have is paying off your credit cards. Once you get the credit cards paid off, you'll have time to have the savings accounts or put mutual funds or whatever the desired savings vehicles are. But when you pay off the credit cards, you're maintaining a sense of focus. As I said before, you're gaining momentum towards getting out of credit card debt. And if you pay off the credit cards and try to establish savings accounts at the same time, you're kind of scattering your force. You're kind of scattering your momentum.
Now, how do you begin to pay then if you're not using a credit card?
Say that again.
How do you pay for stuff? And, here's my concern is if you're using a debit card and someone steals your debit card number, and I did happen to have my credit card number stolen about 2 years ago, and within 12 hours, the person had charged something like $2,000.
Sure.
So, okay, with a credit card, I'm covered.
Right.
Am I covered with a debit card?
I believe you are, but here's where I get very old-fashioned, and I think here's where the old-fashioned element works best for people. I would really sort of go away from plastic completely, and that includes debit cards. I would use cash. Using cash, feeling those dollars, you talked about pain earlier, feeling those dollar bills leaving your wallet, sometimes a little bit more painful than just swiping a debit or credit card and putting it right back in the wallet. My feeling is if you pay cash, you're going to be much more aware of what you're buying, and you're going to ask yourself that question, is this a want or is this a need? And if you can genuinely say to yourself, I really don't need this, well, then you're probably not going to spend the cash because you really don't want to let go of that money as readily as you would swipe a card. So my suggestion to people and the people I coach, try to go on as steady a cash diet as you possibly can, because that's really going to heighten that awareness of what you're spending money on.
Now, one thing I want to point out, because I think this affects a lot of people, is that usually overweight, high in debt, and clutter are related. And so if you're able to tackle one of those issues, the other issues go away as well. My sister was maybe 150 pounds overweight. She actually got that operation. It took her years to agree to do the operation. And she's the baby in the family. She just always got what she wanted because she was so cute. And and then she married a guy with some money, and she was really out of control as far as spending went. And I talked to her about 9 months after the operation, and we were talking about her daughter's wedding, her stepdaughter's wedding. And she said these words, "Well, I said to Rachel, you can either have those flowers or you can have that dress, but you can't have both because it's not in the budget." And I was like, did you just say the B word? I have never in your life heard you say the B word. And so I think that somehow as a society, a lot of us are out of control in all three of those areas. And have you seen that in your coaching, and how do you help people deal with that? Or do you see it just kind of happen naturally?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mention that, because that's something my wife and I actually talk about frequently, is how often we see people who are in debt who are either overweight or they're hoarders. They are afraid to let go of things, even things that may not work anymore. There's so many people who hold on to items that are broken just because they have a hard time letting go. And that really goes back to that psychological component I mentioned a few minutes ago, that money being as much psychological as it is financial. Yeah, there's a definite correlation between debt indebtedness and weight gain and hoarding. And that's an interesting question, because when I do have some clients who have an issue with a couple of these things, it's a sense of soul searching for them, you know, a realization that there's a problem that transcends. It's not just dealing with money, or it's not just dealing with health and weight. It's something that you know, carries over into a few areas. And it's a self-esteem issue, quite honestly. And
I think it might be a spiritual issue, a fear. There's a fear there going on, and a lack, a sense of lack and fear of lack, yeah, that really only God can fill. So the idea that you had this sense that God had something more for you to do, and that he was giving you all these things and you could take better care of it, just gives you an awareness that God is there and that he's aware of you and concerned for you.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, yes. And as the old saying goes, you can't have faith and fear at the same time. So I think that, yeah, you know, it's either one or the other. And when you make that shift, then you see a definite change throughout your entire life.
Okay. Joe, is there anything else you want to say as we get to the end of this?
Well, again, I think that, number one, if somebody wants to get out of credit card debt, he or she can. You know, it's a matter of desire. Yeah. So if this is something you really want to do, by all means, yeah, you can do it. And number two, I'm sorry.
Yeah, give us the name of your book and the website.
Sure. It's Master the Card, Say Goodbye to Credit Card Debt Forever. And the website is www.joeperetta.com, and that's joeperetta.com.
Thank you, Joe. I honestly, you know, this is a Sunday show, and I'm sure there are people who are saying, why is she talking about credit card debt? But for us, that money and our working time and a big portion of our life are tied up in how we get that money. And so I believe God does look at it as something that he's given to us to use responsibly and as much as possible to use it for his glory. And I love that you said that that's exactly what drove you to get rid of your credit card debt.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, after I started getting out of credit card debt, I started to get much more involved in Bible studies and church involvement, and learned that there are over 2,000 references and scriptures in the Bible related to money and ownership. And I think there are more references to money and ownership from both the Old and the New Testament than any other topic that that God addresses. So it's certainly significant.
That's interesting. Joe, some other time we'll have to talk about that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for being with us today. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. To sum it up, one way to get out of credit card debt is to have a good reason to get out. God has called you to spend your money in a different area. A painful reason to get out, to really look at what it's costing you in terms of your life, how many hours you have to work for everything you're paying for, and put that up against your values. I found just tracking what I spend, and Joe mentions this too, I easily cut my expenses by 20%, and I thought we were living pretty close to the bone. Call the credit card company, negotiate a better interest rate, and finally pay off your lowest balance first so you get a sense of victory. You can do this.
You can find out more about how to have the joy that comes from living each day for God while still keeping up with daily life in the book In His Footsteps, How to Be Happy in Every Situation, available at the website inhisfootsteps.com or online at amazon.com.
You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show, at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, contact West Virginia 25063 or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.